إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا أهل القرآن، how is everyone doing? I hope and pray that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on our learning quest. And may we all are in best levels of Iman and Taqwa. Ameen Thum Ameen. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute, the entire team of Journey Through Quran, welcome you all in a live session from Atlanta, Georgia. Inshallah. May we make the best use of this time and may we are able to learn and absorb the maximum from it. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. With tawfiq Allah, we took another step towards in our journey, alhamdulillah. And yesterday we were able to take the sixth step of our journey through Quran, subhanAllah. Every day, it's a blessing to be a part of this journey, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast. Ameen, summa ameen. What are your thoughts today when we are about to start the seventh juz? Can we share something? Same enthusiasm as it was on the day first, or little dampened, or it's more increasing every single day? How is it? Anybody would care to share? Yes, alhamdulillah, it's increasing every day. You know, like the it's just like a thirst which never finishes. It keeps on increasing every day. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, inshallah wa ta'ala. With Surah An-Nisa, we completed Surah An-Nisa and we started Surah Al-Maida in the juz, alhamdulillah. And inshallah, we will continue with the Surah Al-Maida in seventh juz too, inshallah wa ta'ala. With Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with the castle in the form of our house. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We are blessed to be in this castle. Alhamdulillah. We were given clear instructions to how to make our homes peaceful and serene for our families, and our roles were defined very clearly. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Learning new and beautiful things. That is why we are here. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And if the purpose is fulfilled, so subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with more beneficial knowledge and make our learning more steady, inshallah wa ta'ala. So then we are also told to avoid exaggeration in loving our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. So what was the theme of our juz? Which ayah was the theme of our juz? Can anybody tell me? Maida, ayah 11. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Subhanallah. Taqwa. Taqwa, the word taqwa is used many, many times. And we were reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is the creator, the owner, the sustainer of this whole universe. And we also are included in this universe. So, wattaqullah. And inshallah wa ta'ala, by fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will try to do good. We will be hasty in doing good, and inshallah wa ta'ala, and we will refrain ourselves from doing any kind of sin or anything, any bad thing, inshallah wa ta'ala. So the main topics discussed were the role of Quran in our lives, that only with our connection with Quran, with its implementation in our lives, we can bring prosperity in our lives. so very true, so very true. So far we have read so many commandments, and every commandment tell us that by implementing that particular one, our life will be peaceful. Somebody's camera is open. I would like everyone to please turn off their cameras. Thank you so much. Then we were told to stay within our limits and not to transgress. Phrase wattaqullah was used quite often, reminding us that it is the fear of Allah that we have to develop in our lives, and then all the pieces of the puzzle will fall into place itself, inshallah wa ta'ala. Fear of Allah will help us to stay within our limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were advised to develop a soft personality, so when we are around people, we can be beneficial to them. Right? We also learned that we have to be just in every given situation, to whomever it may concern. Then rely on Allah, tawakkal upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the omnipotent. He is al-hayy, al-qayyum, al-samir, al-basir. So many attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many. We can't even name all of them. Subhanallah. In the beginning of the surah, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the deen and chose Islam for us. Alhamdulillah. Do you feel blessed that we are born Muslims, subhanallah, and this deen has been given to us in a silver platter? Subhanallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Can you imagine? I can't even fathom the thought of that. If somebody, how difficult it is, I mean, I really have a very, I'm very appreciative towards whoever convert into Islam, alhamdulillah. It takes a lot of courage, and alhamdulillah, subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing. But we do not, unconsciously, we do not appreciate that we are born Muslims. We have been given this blessing in a silver platter. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will consciously now appreciate that by following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are born Muslims, inshallah wa ta'ala. We learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the deen and chose Islam for us, alhamdulillah. And we learned that tayammum is the substitution of wudu and ghusl in the absence of water. And the and we were told what were the different faraid of wudu. Of course, we learned the whole wudu, the proper procedure in through sunnah, but we were told the faraid of the wudu in these ayahs, alhamdulillah. Then we learned the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only granted if desired. Right? And if desired and pursued, of course. And if someone takes steps to get it. So we have to stop here and ask ourselves how badly we want this guidance. The more desire of it is, the more efforts we will do, inshallah wa ta'ala. So it is upon us now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, what is the criteria? Now we have to develop that criteria. We have to develop that lust of getting guidance. We have to struggle no matter what, how hard it is. But when we, the harder we try, the more we are going to get, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we have to take those steps to get it. And if we want wisdom and guidance, we have to endure patience and taqwa. See, so many advices coming along the way. In such a short years, so many advices. So we keep on taking notes on that, and mental notes especially, because it is our mind that makes that. When we set the mind, then we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, work to achieve our goals, inshallah wa ta'ala. We will make conscious effort to do so. Then we were told to have tawakkal upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to set our eyes on the bigger goals and make use of every opportunity given, inshallah wa ta'ala. Right? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us that if we will not cherish, this opportunity will be taken away from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring new people. We are no one. This is our, you know, opportunity to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you chose us to learn this deen, we are, inshallah wa ta'ala, trying to be worthy of it. Trying to be worthy of it. We will not be unthankful. We will be eternally grateful for this opportunity to learn our deen, inshallah wa ta'ala. And we also learned that jealousy strips us away from our righteous deeds. So have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strive in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path by seeking authentic knowledge, inshallah wa ta'ala. The whole universe is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are included in this ownership, alhamdulillah. We were reminded not to make Yahud and Nasara our dear friends. We were told, whoever will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his friend, then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should know that only this group will be in control, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we have to surround ourselves with like-minded people, right? So this tells us what is the criteria of making friends. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will we'll keep this in mind next time when we do that. All right. We learn Ayah 54. Can you please share any thoughts on that? What did you learn from that ayah? Anyone? Ayah 54. No one? No one wants to share? This is what we just discussed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace us. If we will not, if we turn away, and anyone, I'm still waiting. If it's your chance to say something, I mean to write something, excuse me. Yeah? Yeah, we are replaced, we'll be losers. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And we will strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We value our religion. Yes, of course, so many points to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we do not fulfill the obligations we are imposed on, we will be replaced. Yeah, who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, if we are not fulfilling our obligation of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his deen and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will be replaced. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to keep someone who is useless? Who doesn't want to follow his commands? Yeah, he doesn't need us. Alhamdulillah, be humble. Favors those he wills. We should try to fulfill our obligations without fearing criticism from others. Exactly. We have to be prepared to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, we have to. See, it's a very eye-opening ayah and very thought-provoking ayah. That if I'm not trying to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to be, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many options and I can be and I and will be replaced in no time. No time. So let's make a promise to ourselves that we will inshallah wa ta'ala make our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and then we'll connect others to inshallah wa ta'ala. We have to be prepared to return to Allah. Yes, Allah, indeed. Okay, now type one if you all are doing your homework. Fulfilling your sheets sent to you, alhamdulillah. And I'm hoping that you are trying to memorize the du'as given, right? It's just a reminder that these sheets need to be completed. All the registered students have been provided with the recording link, alhamdulillah, and I'm hoping that everyone will be taking advantage from it too, right? Bismillah. So make the best of this time, and inshallah wa ta'ala, upon doing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open so many doors for you, for your quest to seek knowledge, inshallah wa ta'ala. Just stay steadfast, do loads of du'as and have tawakkal on Allah. And inshallah wa ta'ala, everything will fall into place without you even realizing and knowing about it. Subhanallah, it is the beauty of learning deen with, you know, ikhlas and being steadfast that you don't even realize it. Where you started and where you are, and it's just like, it's just like we are like a trance, you know, like, and we keep on doing, and Allah bless us with so much of beneficial knowledge. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our quest of seeking knowledge easy and beneficial for us. Ameen, summa ameen. And in order for its continuity, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will go to Atlanta, Georgia for our live session journey through Quran. This is the Faiza. Just a reminder, dear, stay focused, take notes, and do loads of du'as, inshallah wa ta'ala. Just print it and fill it. Simple. It's for your own record. Right? You can just print it. It's in PDF form. Print it and then write it on it. Is it clear? Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa asim jada. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today we have such an amazing juice. I feel like that I should rush into it. You know why? Because we have so many gems today. And if you think about it, that today's juice is basically about very much the tawheed, about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we're going to learn about haq. Haq means truth. And we're going to learn, it is so important to know what the truth is and stand firm by it. So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to learn a lot of gems from this juice. I want each one of you to make dua for yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you focus, because if we get the haq today, if the haq comes in our heart today, inshallah, it will be enough for us on a day of judgment that, oh Allah, I was there sitting for your sake in front of the class, and I was trying to learn and know the truth about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's listen to the first few ayahs of just 7 and then we'll continue, inshallah.
وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنْزِلَ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. It's amazing, you know. Today we're going to talk about the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Today we're going to talk about the tawheed of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. And Subhanallah, I can feel, and you probably can feel too, that Shaitan is very active today. All of us, let's say A'udhu Billah together. You know why? Because it's only Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala who can make things happen. No matter how much we try, no matter how much we put our effort in, it is not in our hand to really get to know the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala and the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Subhanallah. Let's begin. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Juz 7 The theme for today's juz is Tears for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do I cry for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When I listen to this Quran, does my heart tremble or not? Because this is the first ayah of today's juz. We will get into the ayah once we get into that. But for now, I want you and I to develop this mindset that the Quran that I'm learning, the Quran that I'm seeking knowledge, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make my heart soften with this Quran. So that تَفِيدٌ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِ Their eyes overflowing with tears. Whose eyes? The people who actually get to know the haqq, the truth. When a person realizes, when the haqq enters the heart of a person, that's when the goodness comes in. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the deed. Because when people see the truth, only then it affects you. Or else, a lot of people may go through the Quran and they don't get anything. This is why we see around the world that people may be finishing, completing Quran one after the other. But when it comes to really feeling the haqq, seeing the haqq, crying and heart trembling, you don't see that there. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't make us among those when they hear the Quran, nothing happens to their heart. Because this is the Quran that changed the hearts of the people. This is the Quran when Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard that, even with the open sword he had in his hand, and he gave up, and the Quran, the ayahs of the Quran opened up his heart. So, you and I, we really need to check ourselves. Where are we standing? Inshallah, let's go to the first ayah, and then from there we'll go more in detail about this ayah. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ Before the explanation of this ayah, I wanted to explain you some main topics that we will be learning in Juz 7. And they are tears upon knowing the truth. They come to you, and this is so important. And then we need to develop taqwa in our lives, because this is taqwa that makes a person humble. And then when religious person and religious people disagree, what happens in the deen? So it's important to understand that. And how patience can help us live this life with ease. And of course, recognition of the truth is so important. And another thing we learn is guidance comes when there is a desire. Or else, the haqq may be in front of people's eye. They just miss it altogether. And then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He becomes the center of our nucleus of our life, only then the life becomes ease, the life becomes fun, the life becomes enjoyment, and loving Allah becomes easy on us. So inshallah, with that, we're going to begin with today's lesson, ayah number 83. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, وَإِذَا أَنْجَبْ سَمِعُوا Meaning, they hear the lesson. Recognizing the truth is important, and that can only be done when person comes and listen, say, thank you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is making me listen the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what we learn in this ayah. If people don't even listen, do you think they'll get it? They won't. When people don't want to come and listen to Quran, they're never going to get it. Disbelievers, they don't know Quran because they don't listen. And some Muslims, they don't know Quran because they don't want to listen. When I say listening, listening does not mean that listening to the tilawa. Of course, all Muslims do tilawa. All Muslims listen to tilawa. What I mean is listening with an understanding mindset. So this Quran can affect their heart. So the first thing we are already doing, bi-idhnillah, sitting here listening to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why listening is more important than reading? Because listening has emotions in it. And listening is a speech, listening to a speech that moves the heart, that softens the heart. That's what we learn here. It was narrated that Al-Irbad ibn Sariha, may Allah have peace upon him, who was one of those who used to weep when he used to listen to the ayahs of the Quran. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a deeply moving speech at which our eyes began to overflow and our hearts melted. This is in Tirmidhi. So we, you and I, can check ourselves. When I listen to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does my heart melt or not? The tears of the repentant at night quenches the thirst and cures the sickness. We learn by Abu Jafri al-Tabrani, who said that. So what it means is, when a person have a tear coming out from his eye for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is where the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures the heart. Take all the diseases of the heart out, because now the heart is pure. And because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our tears comes in the eyes. We learned that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu used to weep intensely, and it was said to him, "Why are you weeping?" He would say, "I do not know what is ahead for me, divine pleasure or divine wrath." Meaning, when a person has an akhirah in his mind, then they cry. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our eyes weep. If we don't weep, if the tears don't come out, that's okay. At least we can have intention and we can have the face. At least we can pretend that we are crying. Because when you pretend, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen too. So my question is, why did they cry? And you know why they cry? Because they understood the haq. The haq was inside their heart. And we can ask this question, why? What do I want from this journey through Quran in my life? You know why? Because Imam Ghazali said, give yourself in the hand of Allah like a dead body, and then your hearts will tremble. What it means is, if you ever seen the dead body, it is lying down on a table. Everybody around the body, they are the one who moves the body, turn the body, lift the hand. This is how a believer should be in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I belong to you. I give myself up in your hand. And that's when the hearts are softened. These ayahs were revealed in the context of Najashi, the Negus, the king of Habasha. And he, when he heard the ayahs of the Quran, even though he was non-Muslim at the time, but his heart trembled and his eye weep. Why? Because he got the truth. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us so we can recognize the truth the way it's supposed to be recognized. And you know what? What the tears do? Tears are basically a gift of Allah. And if you think about it, tears are reflection of what's in your heart. So if you have a iman in your heart, if you have taqwa in your heart, and if you have desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it should be showing from your emotions, from your eyes. And this appears at the blessing and the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know why? Because think about it. There are variety of tears. Sometimes tears of happiness, sometimes a tear of sadness, sometimes a tear of fear. Sometimes, you know, when you cry with the happiness, the tears are cold. And when you cry with the sadness, the tears are hard. So, tears come for different reasons. Some people cry on this dunya. Small things. They miss out to something and they cry. They were supposed to go somewhere, they cannot go, they cry. There's some calamity hits in their life, they cry. Some good comes in their life, they cry. But how many times you heard the people saying, or maybe you can look at yourself and I can look at myself, that when do I cry? When I hear the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is so important that we understand this concept. You know why? because we are here, that وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ, and when they hear what has been revealed to the messenger, meaning this beautiful word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we call it Quran, you see their eyes overflowing with tears because of what they have recognized of the truth. They say, our Lord, we have believed, so register us among the witness. Question: do we want to be registered among those who witness the truth and who testify for the truth? May Allah make us among those. In the whole juz, you will find so many witnesses and so many options will come to learn and recognize the truth. Basically, this juz is filled with the way we can see the haq and make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only make it possible for us. And why should we not believe in Allah? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they say, once the truth enters the heart, this is the question comes out, that why should we not believe in Allah and what has come to us of the truth? And we aspire that our Lord will admit us to paradise with the righteous people. Al-haqqu wa natma'u an yudkhilana rabbuna ma'al qawmi s-salihin. Question: do we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us enter the Jannah and be among the righteous people? If you and I sit in a company of the righteous people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you and I cry. And you know, when people listen to this Quran for the first time, that's when the heart really softens. And if you are listening to this Quran for the first time, hold on to this feeling, because this feeling may not come again. Because when people listen over and over, sometimes their heart gets hard. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep my heart softened every time. Whenever I hear the Quran, whenever I hear the recitation, Allah softens my heart and my heart, my eyes get wet. And we know from hadith that the two drops Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves, one is the teardrop that comes for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who owns all these oceans, all the water that we see on the river. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I own it. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I love one tear that comes from the eye of you and I. This is how valuable your tear is. And you know what? Another thing we learn here is that a believer doesn't cry on a personal petty issues. Instead, they cry for the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they hear it, they make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who cry for you, not for this dunya. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our heart for that. And you know what? Who can make dua like that? The one who actually values the truth, right? Or else we won't be able to make dua like that. So what else do we learn here is that we must have a strong desire for the reward, and that will keep us steadfast, inshallah. And another thing we learn here is that when haq enters the heart, Allah heals the heart. So, inshallah, with that, we need to understand that my tears are mirror of my heart. And if my heart has softened, they should be visible, manifest in my tears. So, Allah rewarded them for what they said. How beautiful. Question: can you and I say to ourselves right now, oh Allah, I want to be a witness of the truth? Insha'Allah. And then for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has prepared with gardens in paradise between which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally, and that is the reward of the doers of the good. But those who disbelieve and deny our signs, they are the companions of hellfire. O you who have believed, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Every time when you hear this command, your heart should be very happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to me, you and I. O you who have believed, do not prohibit the good things. In this set of ayahs from ayah number 87 to 93, the topic you can write is that there are halal things in Islam, and there are haram, and there are some things in between. We call it as a mutashabihat, meaning they're not very clear. So as a believer, what is required by us? It is required by us to either stick to halal and stay away from haram. And whenever you are in doubt, whenever you find that it is a gray area and you're not sure, give up. Leave it. Move out. Why? Because you should not stay in a gray area. You should not stay in a middle area. You know why? Because when person stays in a middle area, it is easier for them to fall into haram. So the ruling we learn here is that do not contemplate too much. Should I do this? You know, people like to stay in a gray area. They say, you know what? Let me just go ahead and do that. It's not haram anyway. Yes, of course, it may not be haram, but when you are standing on a side, it is easy for you to fall upon it. Now imagine if a child is walking towards catching a fire. Do you think mother is going to sit quietly? No. She's not going to say that, you know what, he's far away from fire, he will turn back. No. She just runs and jumps and tries to hold the baby because she knows if I don't hold him now, he may end up going and falling into the fire. This is the same rule applied for all of us. When we see something that is not very clear, it may appear doubtful to you. And if we say, you know what, it's okay. I can just sit here. I'm not really drinking with them. They are drinking, but I am not. I can just attend this function. I'm not really doing this function. I'm not the one who's organizing this function where all the haram things are going on. I'm just sitting there. You know why? Because when people do that, they get immune to it. And then step by step, they move closer to haram. You know why? Because it is very tempting. So this is why Allah SWT is saying, stay towards halal and stay away from haram. And then if you are in doubt, you know what you should do. So, O you who have believed, do not prohibit the good things which Allah has made lawful to you, and do not transgress. And indeed, Allah does not like the transgressors. And eat of what Allah has provided for you, which is lawful and good. Why? Sometimes, you know, people make halal haram for themselves too. So don't do that. Do not make religion hard upon yourself. In the name of goodness, people try to keep lot of things that are halal, but sometimes they make it in the name of goodness, in the name of extra precaution, they make halal haram too. So Allah SWT is saying, just whatever Allah SWT has laid out for you, just do that. And eat of what Allah has provided for you, lawful and good. Why? Because fear Allah, and that's the only way you can stay safe, in whom you are believers. Allah will not impose blame upon you for what is meaningless. Meaning, this ayah is about the oath. Allah SWT, there are three types of oath. Allah SWT will not hold you accountable. If your oath, you say, Wallahi, not even really meaning it, then it's okay. But He will impose blame upon you for breaking what you intend of oath. So, its expiation is the feeding of the 10 needy people from the average of what that which you feed your own families or clothing them, or the freeing of a slave. Meaning, we have to take oaths very seriously. Some people have this habit. They say, I swear this and I swear that. You don't need that. Don't do that. If you have this thing, try to take it out from your life. And when you take oath, which is serious and you mean it, and if you break it, then you must do the expiation, any one of these things that are mentioned in this ayah. But whoever cannot find or afford it, then a fast of three days is required. That is the expiation for oaths when you have sworn, but guard your oaths. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses, that is the real law, that you may be grateful. Then Allah SWT says in ayah number 90, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, innama al-khamru wal-maisir. This ayah talks about what is haram. Meaning, in this verse you will learn a lot of things that are haram, will stay away from it. O you who have believed, indeed, intoxicants, gambling, sacrificing on stone, altars to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and divining arrows are but defilement from the work of shaitan, so avoid it that you may be successful. It is very clear in this ayah that you're not supposed to have any kind of intoxication in life. The most common intoxication we see with people drink, and drink has become such a common thing nowadays, even in Muslims, as some of the Muslims, they don't mind drinking. They say, oh, it's just a drink, and I'm not drinking too much. I'm just doing a social drinking. And in the name of social drinking, they drink. And you and I may be surprised that who drinks. But you know what? There are many Muslims out there who are actually indulging themselves. You know why? Because they say, it's okay. It's not something really bad. So we need to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made drinking haram. We cannot say that it is okay. Today, we have the statistics that people, the most car accidents happen because of the drunken driving. And most people do wrong when they're drinking. In that condition, they don't know. They lose their mind. Losing their mind, whatever people lose their mind, whatever makes their mind numb, it cannot be halal. There are so many forms of drinking today, and people say, in the name of things that we just do it anyway. So we need to understand drugs, any kind of drug, anything that can intoxicate you, if you're taking it, it is not halal. What we learn here is that sometimes people take this drinking very lightly. For example, many Muslims say, we're not drinking, you know, but we have this ginger ale in our hand that looks like drink, but it's not. Sometimes Muslims pretend to carry and hold on to the glasses, the goblets that are made for drinking, and they say, oh, we're just having a juice in there, or maybe some other drink. Yesterday I happened to go to the grocery store, subhanAllah, and I saw a box. The box had a golden color on it, and it had a bottle that was exactly like that bottle of any drink or wine. And it had a glass, and that was a glass, that was a goblet, and it has a bubble coming, and the color was also like champagne. And it says, non-alcoholic drink. And they displayed these boxes right in the entrance. I went there in the month of Ramadan to buy halal meat, and that's what my eyes saw, subhanAllah. I was thinking, maybe Allah made me see this so I can share it with you, that if Muslims are trying to pretend, who are they kidding? Then when people do that, do you think their eyes will tremble with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you think the tears will come in their eyes? When they pretend, we're not really drinking, we're just impersonating drinking. We're just not really taking alcohol, but it look-alike thing is okay. Imagine if you do that right now, then imagine the next generation. Do you think that they will mind drinking? Today, when we were growing up, We had no drink in our stores when we saw. So we had this built-in hatred for drinking. Today, when our kids go to grocery store, what do they see? They see drink right next to the fruit. They see drink displayed in such a nice bottle. They don't find it anything wrong with it. This is why we see the statistics of the Muslim Ummah indulging in drink is so severely too much, and it's almost scary. That's meaning to Allah SWT give our Ummah understanding that drinking is not halal. The other day we learned the ayah, وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَىٰ, when you are in the state of intoxication, you should not pray salah. That was the first command. And then another command came, and Allah SWT made the drinking prohibited, and people justify drinking. Another thing that is haram is gambling. Anything that comes with a free thing, meaning that it doesn't require much work to do, that is not halal. So what we understand here is that any kind of gambling, any kind of money, like for example lotto, like for example people play, have bets, it's not allowed. You know why? Because when you get the money without even earning it, that's when the problem happens. And drinking and gambling should not be. And don't even go close to it. Just thinking, I am sitting in a company of those who are playing, but I'm not playing. Today, the gambling has taken many different forms in video games. Our kids are playing these video games where they have to bet the money. Yes, they are not involved in that physical real money, but the bitcoins and all those virtual money they are involved in. They are doing gambling. They do feel depressed and they do commit suicide because of that. So what do we learn here? It is extremely important that we understand that Al-Khamr Al-Naisr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us all. And then another thing is, sacrificing on the stone altars other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these are form of shirk. And divining arrow are but defilement from the work of shaitan, throwing an arrow and finding out. These were the games that Arabs used to play. And today we have a different, many different versions of these things. So avoid it, that you may be successful. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you avoid all these things, only then you are successful. And people take it very easily. They say, that's what's wrong with that. Why are you being so harsh? Everybody is drinking, so it's okay. And you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us why people say that. You know, the answer is in ayah number 91. Innama yuridu shaytanu. Shaitan only wants to cause between you and animosity and hatred through intoxicants and gambling, and to avert you from the remembrance of Allah and from Salah. So, will you not desist? Meaning, will you not stop yourself? Because you and I should know, it is from Shaitan. He's the one who's tricking us. He's the one who's making us away from all this. So, in ayah number 92, and obey Allah, and obey the Messenger, and be aware. And if you turn away, then know that upon our Messenger is the only responsibility for clear notification. This ayah tells us, information is there, knowledge is there, Quran is there. It is up to you and I to grab it as much as we want to, because Prophet ﷺ has done his job by giving us the message. The Quran is in our hands. If we take it or not, it is our choice. There is not upon those who believe and do righteousness any blame concerning what they have eaten in the past. And if they now fear Allah and believe and do the righteous deeds, and then fear Allah and believe, and then fear Allah and do good, and Allah loves the doer of the good. I want you to recite this ayah on your own, because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating here over and over again what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here. Laysa ala alladhina amanu wa amilu salihan. Meaning, there is no sin upon those believers who not just believe, but actually stay away from whatever we are learning and do the righteous deed. Jinaha fima tami'u idha ma mattaqaw wa amanu wa amilu salihat. Another repetition. And then summa, again, summa taqaw wa amanu, summa taqaw wa ahsanu. How many times the word taqwa is coming in this ayah? You know why? Because this is haqq. This is what the muttaqeens do. This is why they keep away themselves away. There are three levels of taqwa. You know, a person is sometimes only a believer. He's a Muslim. Then he becomes mu'min. And that's the first level. And then he becomes muttaqi. And that's the second level. That's what we should be striving for. Oh Allah, in this month of Ramadan, give me taqwa. Make me a person who stays away from what is haram. Because in this surah, we are learning a lot of things that are haram. And only a muttaqi can stay away from them. And then the last and the final level of taqwa is muhsineen. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said here, Wallahu yuhibbul muttaqeen. Because we're learning about taqwa in this ayah, repetition of the word taqwa. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, it is muhsineen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Who are muhsineen? They are the ones who not just believe, who not just act, but they also give up what is wrong. And that's when they reach the level of ihsan. So you and I can write for ourselves that first we have to believe, then we have to develop taqwa, meaning do the righteous deed and stay away from wrong. You know why? Because doing righteous things is easy as compared to leaving one sin. If I tell you, go and do the tasbih, recite 100 times, subhanallah, it's easy for you. You can do it in a cinch. But when somebody tells you that, when you know what, only for the sake of Allah, give up one habit that is not good, one habit for Allah, it is not easy. This is why Allah SWT says, giving up haram and staying away from what is doubtful, it is extremely important. And then finally person becomes a muhtadin. And then Allah SWT says, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, O you who have believed, Allah will surely test you through something of the game that your hands and spears can reach, that Allah may make evident those who fear Him unseen. And whoever transgresses after that for Him, it is a painful punishment. From ayah number 94 to 100, you can write down the topic, trials will come. And trials will be in a different shape and form for every one of us, but they will come. So what should we do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, Allah will surely test you through something of the game, and that your hands and spears can reach, and that Allah may make evident those who fear Him unseen. Meaning, when people will die and they will see the Allah, that will be too late. So what is required from you and I is, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. Believe in things of unseen now, and Allah may make evident those who fear Him unseen, and whoever transgresses after that for Him is a painful punishment. You know what we learn here? Stay away from anything doubtful. People may justify drinking and gambling, different forms of it. So what? But stay away from doubtful. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, la taqtulu sayyida, O you who have believed, do not kill game while you are in the state of ihram. These rulings are for the state of ihram. And whoever of you kills it intentionally, the penalty is an equivalent from sacrificial animals to what he killed, as just by two just men among you as an offering to Allah delivered to the Kaaba or an expiation, the feeding of the needy people or the equivalent of what in fasting, that he may taste the consequences of his matter, that is his deed. Allah has pardoned what is past, but whoever returns to violation, then Allah will take retribution from him. And Allah is exalted in might and owner of retribution. People try to justify what is doubtful in the name, so it's okay. Allah SWT is clearly saying, no, stay away from it, because Allah will take the retribution. If you are in doubtful in your daily life, whether this is halal or not, stay away. It is the best and safest thing for you to, for you and I to do. Ayah number 96, lawful to you is a game from the sea. In this ayah, highlight this ayah, because in this ayah we learn about what? About the seafood, all kinds of seafood is halal for us. It is such a blessing. Imagine if you live in a place where not halal food available, at least you have an option of going and eating the seafood. Alhamdulillah. And then, as provision for you and the travelers, but forbidden to you is a gain from the land as long as you are in the state of ihram and fear Allah to whom you will be gathered. You know what keeps you away from all the mutashabihat, the doubtful stuff? The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has made the Kaaba, the sacred house, standing for the people, and has sanctified the sacred months and the sacrificial animals and the garlands by which they are identified. That is so you may know that Allah knows what is in the heavens and what is in the earth, that Allah is knowing of all things. Ayah number 98, know that Allah is severe in penalty and that Allah is forgiving and merciful. If people make mistake, whatever they have made mistake in the past, it's okay. Because Allah SWT says, now that you know, if you didn't know it until now, that's okay. Allah SWT is all forgiving. And if you come back to Allah, Allah will forgive you. And not upon the messenger is responsibility except for notification. You and I do not have any responsibility for ourselves unless and until we have this desire that we're not going to listen. As long as the ayahs of the Quran came to us now, it is our responsibility to act upon them. If people choose not to, they are responsible for their own selves. And it is not the job of a messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to change the heart. It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in ayah number 100, we learn that قلنا يسلب بالخبيث والطيب. What does that mean? Say, not equal are the evil and the good, although the abundance of evil might impress you. So fear Allah, O you of understanding, that you may be successful. What do we learn in this ayah? We learn that pure and impure, khabith or pure meaning tayyib, cannot be together, cannot be the same. It has to be different. Allah made it different. And who can stay towards the pure? The one who have a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another thing we learn here is that if a lot of impurity is going around you, that does not mean that it is justifiable. We need to speak up, because you know why? Because if we don't speak up for what is impure in a society, then it becomes pure over time in the minds of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you think it's pure, it doesn't make it pure. Because khabith and tayyib can never be the same, can never be the equal. O you who have believed, in ayah number 101 from 108, the topic of this section is, worry about yourself. Stop worrying about what people do. Do not point fingers on people, because at the end of the day, what you and I do to ourselves, that's what matters. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tas'alu, O you who have believed, do not ask about things which, if they are shown to you, will distress you. But if you ask about them while the Quran is being revealed, they will be shown to you. Allah has pardoned, that is, which is in the past, and Allah is forgiving and forbearing. Here we learn lesson. When you are in doubtful things, when this ayah was revealed because Sahaba and the people would ask questions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal an ayah for that. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told people through this ayah that do not ask questions, because then ayah would be revealed and then you and I will be obligated. So it is best that we don't say and ask too many questions, unnecessary questions. So, and of course, do not be curious about what others are doing in their life. Why? Because it doesn't matter what they do. It matters what you do and how are you portraying. Are you implementing the deen of Allah on your body or not? Then, a people ask such questions before you, then they became thereby disbelievers. Allah has not appointed such innovations as Bahira or Sa'iba or Wasila or Ham. These are the names of the things that Arabs used to believe and used to make them a sacrifice in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in certain way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, this is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who disbelieve, invent falsehood about Allah, and most of them do not reason. They would justify that these things that we are doing in the name of Islam, in the name of Deen. Today, Muslim Ummah have a lot of things in their traditions that they do it in the name of Deen. And when it is said to them, come to what Allah has revealed through the Messenger, they say, sufficient for us that upon which we found our fathers, even though their fathers knew nothing, nor were they guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, if your forefathers may be ignorant, does that mean you keep on following them? If you find this ayah today, then don't you think that you should learn? It's okay if people in the past, Allah will deal with them because they had no information at the time. But when you get the information, that's when you ignore, that's when the hearts become hardened. And that's when the eyes don't hear for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the people hear Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed, upon you is responsibility for yourselves. This is what we learn. We are responsible for ourselves. Those who have gone astray will not harm you when you have been guided. Worry about yourself. This is what we learn here. To Allah is your return altogether, and then He will inform you of what you used to do. Question. Do I worry about it in my daily life? Whatever I am doing, I am responsible for it? O you who have believed, testimony should be taken among you when death approaches one of you at the time of bequest, that of two just men from among you or two others from outside, if you are traveling through the land and the disaster of the death should strike you, detain them after the prayer and let them both swear by Allah. If you doubt, their testimony saying, we will not exchange it. That is our oath for a prize that is worldly gain, even if he should be a near relative. And we will not withhold the testimony of that is ordained by Allah. Indeed, we would then be of the sinful. But if it is found that those two were guilty of sin, that is perjury, let two others stand in their place who are foremost in claim from those who have a lawful right, and let them swear by Allah, our testimony is truer than their testimony, and we have not transgressed. Indeed, we would then be the wrongdoers. This is a long ayah about the condition when a person is near death and they are traveling. What should they do? For you and I, we can learn that it's all about giving the testimony. Be a witness for the haqq. You and I can learn this lesson. When it comes to truth, do I back up the witness? Do I stay behind, stand firm, steadfast? What is truth? Or I give in what people are saying? What is the society's norm? When people do some things in bulk and abundance, people find it right. So, here we learn, if the whole world turns against us, we still have to try our best to stay on the right side. If the people, the society around you, consider everything else norm, you as a believer should know what is right and stand firm on this, inshallah. And this is the testimony of haqq that you and I will be asked. That is more likely that you will give the testimony according to what is true objective, or at least they would fear that other oaths might be taken after their oath and fear Allah and listen. Notice here, wasma'u again in ayah number 108. It is so important that you have to listen to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person refuses to listen, they will never get it. So that is obey him, and Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. Ayah number 109 to 115. The topic of these ayahs are the day of judgment and prophets, meaning what we will learn about here about the prophets, inshallah. Be warned of the day when Allah will assemble the messengers and say, what was the response you received? They will say, we have no knowledge. Indeed, it is you who is the knower of unseen. This ayah is very scary. Think about it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, even prophets will be answerable. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the prophets, did you do the job? Did you convey the message? And what did the people do? So, if Allah will ask them, what about you and I? This is something to think about. This is an ayah that we can contemplate over. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ اذْكُرْ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكَ. That day when Allah will say, O Jesus, son of Mary, remember my favor upon you and upon your mother when I supported you with the pure spirit, that is the angel Jibreel, and you spoke to the people in a cradle and in a maturity. And remember when I taught you writing and wisdom and the Torah and the gospel, and when you designed from clay what was like the form of a bird with my permission. And then you breathed into it, and it became a bird with my permission. And you healed the blind from the bird and the leper with my permission. And when you brought forth dead with my permission. And when I restrained the children of Israel from killing you, when you came to them with clear proofs, and those who disbelieved among them said, this is not but obvious magic. Here we learn that miracles do not change the heart of the people. It is they asked for miracle, they got the miracle, but it didn't bring them to Islam. So what we learn here is that the truth is from within. Truth cleanses your heart from within. When people try to see the outside miracles, some people say, oh, you know what, there's a cow and there's Allah written on them, and there's a branch that shapes like an Allah, and then there is a tree branch that is doing sajda to Allah, or maybe you can see a cloud say, there's Allah written. All these things may sound very good, but they don't do anything to your iman. It doesn't really increase your iman. People say and talk and about like that all the time. You know, I have this vein in my hand that is shaped like Allah, and all these things. These things does not matter. What matters is iman, having the iman inside. Because people saw all these great, huge miracles that Isa alayhi salam performed. Did they accept the truth? They didn't. So another thing we learn here is that Isa alayhi salam did not do anything by on his own will, by on his own accord. He did it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this permission. This is why there's a repetition of bi-idhnillah, with the idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lesson for us. You and I, whatever you are and I are capable of doing, whatever health, wealth, money, skill we have, it is bi-idhnillah. If Allah wills, He can take it away right now. If Allah wills, He can make us not do anything. So whenever the success comes in your life, say it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ أَوْحَيْتَ إِلَّا الْحَوَارِيِّينَ أَنْ آمِنُوا. And remember when I inspired to the disciples, believe in me and in my messenger, that is Jesus. They said, we have believed so. Bear witness that indeed we are Muslims in submission to Allah. Isqal al Hawariyuna Isa ibn Maryama. And remember when the disciples said, O Jesus, son of Mary, can your Lord send down to us a table spread with food from the heavens? Jesus said, fear Allah, if you should be believers. The name of this Surah Al-Ma'idah is because of that. The table spread, right? So, قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَنَّأْكُلَ. They said, we wish to eat from it, and let our hearts be reassured and know that you have been truthful to us and be among its witness. قَالَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا. This is the dua upon their request. Isa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Said Jesus, the son of Mary, O Allah, our Lord, send down to us a table spread with food from the heavens to be for us a festival for the first of us and the last of us and the signs from you. And provide for us, and you are the best of the providers. Whether this was given or not, it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they believe that they have the last supper. That is what this is. Allah said, indeed, I will send it down to you. But whoever disbelieves afterwards from among you, then indeed will I punish him with a punishment by which I have not punished anyone among the worlds. What we learn here is when people ask for the miracles, and if they see it, and if they still don't believe it, that's when the real heart problem. For a believer, we learn here is that basically whatever we see right now, it is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran that you're reading, it is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tree that you see, it's growing from a tiny seed to a long cube-like tree standing without any support, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at your own body, it is filled with miracles. The way the baby comes out from the mother's womb, the way the baby is formed in the mother's womb, isn't it all this miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So why do we need to ask more miracles? When people look for miracles, they don't really gain any iman. For a believer, you and I, everything is a miracle. And ayah number 116 to 120, the topic you can write is that testification of Tawheed. This ayah, this section is very important. You know why? Because we are learning about oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this section, if you truly feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means you got it made. Allah has accepted you sitting here. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me this oneness of Allah in my heart. And be aware of the day when Allah will say, O Jesus, son of Mary, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as deities besides Allah? He will say, exalted are you. It was not for me to say that to which I have no right. Notice here, Isa alayhi salam himself is saying that. Then how majority of the people, the large group of number of people, are believing that Isa is the son of God? Don't you think that it is the job of a believer, you and I, to spread this message to them? Exalted are you. It was not for me to say that to which I have no right. If I had said it, you would have known it. You know what is within myself, and I do not know what is within yourself. Indeed, it is you who is the knower of the unseen. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Isa alayhi salam himself. Don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you and I? So it is really important that we understand if they are answerable, so are we. Ma qultu lahum illa, I said not to them except that you commanded me to worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord, and I was witness over them as long as I was among them. But when you took me up, you were the observer over them, and you are over all things witness. If you should punish them, indeed, they are your servants. But if you forgive them, indeed, it is you who is the exalted in might and wise. Allah SWT is Aziz al-Hakim. And Allah will say, this is the day when the truthful will benefit from its truthfulness, for them are gardens in the paradise. Notice here, another, Allah SWT is repeating again, that the one who is truthful, he will stand firm behind the truthfulness, and for them, Allah SWT has prepared Jannah. Every time the description of the Jannah comes, there's a reason is listed before that, right? This is what we have been learning. So we need to understand this Jannah is for those whom Allah SWT lists that they are the one who deserves this Jannah. And what we learn here is that ana'budullaha rabbi wa rabbukum, we need to really internalize this sentence that to worship Allah, who is the Lord of Isa alayhi salam, and he is the Lord of us. So this is the only Allah we need to worship. And what else do we learn in this ayah 119? Allah will say, that is the day when its truthful will benefit from its truthfulness. For them are gardens in the paradise, beneath which river flow, wherein they will abide forever, Allah being pleased with them. What does Allah say? Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah being pleased with them, and they will be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And this should be the motto of our life, to please Allah in our daily life, and they with Him. That is the great attainment. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْضُ الْعَظِيمُ. So if you and I want to be successful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no. What is success? That one believe in oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's where the success lies. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, that's where the success lies. And when you are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's where the success lies, inshaAllah. And ayah number 120, to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth and whatever is within them, and He is over all things competent. Ayah number 1 to 10, and now we begin with Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am is an amazing surah. In this surah, we learn a lot of things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our relationship with our body and soul. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that what is your body made of and its requirements are different. And what is your soul made of if the requirements of the soul are different. So inshallah, let's listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs before we start the Surah Al-An'am, inshallah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون هو الذي خلقكم من طين ثم قضى أجلا وأجل مسمى عنده ثم أنتم تمترون وهو الله في السماوات وفي الأرض يعلم سركم وجهركم ويعلم ما تكسبون وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين فقد كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فسوف يأتيهم أنباء ما كانوا به يستهزئون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the intention and dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are listening to this Quran, inshallah. Try to focus, because the more you put your heart into this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah will make your heart humble. Surah Al-An'am. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi ladhi khalaqa samawati wal-an. All praise is due to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, and made the darkness and the light. Then those who disbelieve equate others with their Lord. What do we learn in this surah? If you notice, it is beginning with Alhamdulillah. This is the second surah after Surah Al-Fatiha that begins with Alhamdulillah. That means There are four surahs in Quran that starts with Alhamdulillah, and the next one is going to come in Surah Al-Kahf. In this surah, we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying be grateful, and this surah will actually develop a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will share so many signs in this surah that you will get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you don't do the detailed tafsir of this surah, you will get the basic information, and that would really develop the love and connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because here we're going to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this first ayah, is that all praise is due to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth and made the darkness and the light. Now, Allah is the one who made the darkness and the light too. But then those who disbelieve equate others with their Lord, meaning people still do shirk. People still do not realize that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made everything. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made me. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ قَضَىٰ أَجَلًا. It is He who created you from clay and then decreed a term and a specified term and specified time known to Him. Then still, you are in dispute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your body is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your soul is also created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you still deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there anybody who can create a baby that comes out of the mother's womb like that? Then how come people still associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they don't believe that only Allah they should return to? So, and then Allah says, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّكُمْ وَجَهْرَكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُونَ. And He is Allah, the only deity in the heavens and the earth. He knows your secret and what you make public, and He knows that which you earn. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my inside and out. Allah knows how much I am taking care of my body, and Allah knows how much I am taking care of my soul, because my soul will be darkened if this Quran, the word of Allah, the zikr of Allah, the rituals of Islam are not given to my soul. It will be like in the darkness. So most of the time, people only pay attention to their body's needs. And generally speaking, people do not remember that they need to feed their soul too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and no sign comes to them from the signs of their Lord except that they turn away their form. For they had denied the truth when it came to them, but there is going to reach them the news of what they used to ridicule. People, after seeing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they deny, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, one day they will get to know what they used to ridicule, make fun of Islam, Muslims, ritual of Islam, symbol of Islam, the Muslim clothing, the Muslim food, the Muslim lifestyle, wearing layers of clothes in summertime, women covering cover to cover. They used to ridicule all those. They used to look down upon, look at these Muslims, they have such a boring life. They don't listen to music, they don't go to clubbing, they don't drink, they cannot even do the gambling. And these people have such a horrible life. They people can ridicule Muslims as much as they want. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them. Have they not seen how many generations we destroyed before them? This is a question Allah Ta'ala is asking. Then how come they're not learning the lesson? We destroyed before them which we had established upon the earth as we have not established you. Meaning, if you and I think we are the most advanced nation that ever was living in the earth, Allah SWT is saying, yes, you may think so, but Allah SWT will replace you with somebody who is better than you. Times will come and the people will talk about 100 years from now. Look at those people 100 years ago. They, poor people, did not knew how to do this and how to do that, because this is exactly what happens. Allah SWT replaces nations, and we sent rain from the sky upon them in showers and made rivers flow beneath them, and then we destroyed them for their sins. Notice here, why nations are destroyed? It's because of their sin. Allah SWT destroys and replaces them. And brought forth are after them a generation of others, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need you and I. We are the one in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should we do? Have desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know why? Because we are replaceable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace believers from other people who are actually following and obeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if we had sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a written scripture on a page, and they touched it with their hands, the disbelievers would say, this is not but an obvious magic. What do we learn? When a heart is not clear, when the light does not enter the heart, and when the heart has some preset mindset, even seeing and touching the scripture will not change. May Allah save us from those who see the Quran, who hold the Quran in their hand, and who recite the ayahs, and nothing happens to their heart. And they say, why was there not sent down to him an angel? But if we had sent down an angel, the matter would have been decided. Then they would not be reprieved. Meaning, when people just don't want to believe, that's when they ask too many questions. That's when they make excuses. You know, if I am free, maybe in a later age in my life, when I have some time, only then I'll come to Quran. Right now, I'm raising kids. I have errands to run. I have pick and drop service to do to my children. I don't have time for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sorry, I am a second earner of my home, and without my income, the household will not run. So I cannot come to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sorry this and sorry that. So what we learn here is that people always give excuses. You know, have you ever talked to people? Sometimes you invite them to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what they say? They say, oh, yeah, I'll think about it. I'll see. You know why? Because people, they say, oh, something, there will be a time one day that I'll be sitting pretty free and I won't have anything to do. That's when I'll think about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I'm old, when my kids are gone, you know what? Who knows how long you and I are going to live? So we should not make any excuses like that. And they say, why was there not sent down to him an angel? But if we had sent down an angel, the matter would have been decided. Then they would not be reprieved. And if we had made them, that is the messenger, an angel, we would have made him appear as a man anyway. Even if Prophet ﷺ would come in a form of, it was an angel, he would be coming in the form of a man anyway. So why are they asking something that doesn't even make sense? It's not going to matter what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Allah's decision. And we would have covered them with that in which they cover themselves, that is confusion and doubt. What do we learn here? People confuse themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told the truth. It is people who do not want to take it, and they try, keep on asking questions, and then at the end of the day they say, I'm not sure, let me just stay wherever I am. I don't want to change myself. And already were messengers ridiculed before you, but those who mocked them were enveloped by that which they used to ridicule. Ayah number 10 is scary. You know why? Because in this ayah, we learn when people make fun of deen, the rituals of the deen, even sometimes you see Muslims making fun of Muslims' rituals, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hardens the heart and it envelopes, and then they don't understand and they don't see the truth. We are learning about the truth in this juice, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reasons why this doesn't come. Because people do this thing to themselves by denying, by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly. When a command comes to them, they say, I'm not ready yet. And then the time passes by, and the command comes again, and they say, I'm not ready yet. And by the time they think they may be ready, they're not even there. So this is why it is important that people, when the message comes to them, they take it. Now, you and I are listening here. We may be thinking that, you know, it is not possible for me to take everything. This is too much information. Yes, it is true. But you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the intention. You may not be able to take everything in right now, but you can have the intention and desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do have an intention. I do have the desire to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholly, fully, because we have already learned that the deen is complete and this is the only way to salvation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you still don't get it, then qul siru fil ardi thumma anzuru kayfa kana aqibatul mukadzibin. Say, travel to the land and observe how was the end of the deniers. Say, to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. And from ayah number 11 to 19, we learn here that Allah's witness is the greatest. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is telling us what is right, and himself is witnessing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is. So, say, to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and earth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the question. Notice here. And then, say, to Allah. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say himself. He is telling Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qul, say it is to Allah. You know why? Because Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did not know the unseen. He did only knew whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him. And this is a proof that this Quran is not written by Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that tell the people, Qul lillah. It is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed himself, upon himself mercy. He will surely assemble you on a day of resurrection. What do we learn in this ayah? First of all, we learn here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witnessing himself. The next thing we learn here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have written mercy upon myself. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy, it's more stronger than his other attributes. What do we learn here is that Allah said, Allah will surely assemble you for the day of resurrection, about which there is no doubt those who will lose themselves that day do not believe. You know, we learn from a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created the dunya, he created the world. On the throne, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written down this, Inna rahmati ghalabat adabi. This phrase, this saying is actually written on up on the sky. It's in Muslim, hadith number 2751, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, My rahmah takes over my wrath. So, this is why you see people committing all kinds of wrong and they're still surviving and breathing. And to him belongs that which reposes by night and by day, and he is hearing and knowing. What do we learn in this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has written mercy upon himself. Does that mean that we can get away? No, this does not mean that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I to be the witness of the Tawheed, the witness of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you mercy. Only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon you. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ. Say, is it other than Allah I should take up as a protector? In this surah, if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keep on asking questions. How can you not come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you not come to see the truth? How is it possible that you can miss the truth? You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who are the successful one? They are the successful one who come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a truth. Say, is it other than Allah, I should take a protector, creator of the heavens and earth, while it is He who feeds and it's not fed? Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who feeds us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anybody to feed him, and he doesn't need to be fed. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed, I have been commanded to be the first among you who submit to Allah, and was commanded, do not ever be of the polytheists. Meaning, oneness of Allah is everything. Believing in Allah as one deity is everything. People say, oh, I do believe in Allah. Of course I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just when I go visit this grave such and such, then I'm just using the wasila of them. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. فَإِنَّ قَرِيدٌ He is near. When a servant asks him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. And when the people say and need anything, they need to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And because, you know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is saying that. And who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? Say, indeed, I fear if I should disobey my Lord, the punishment of the tremendous day. Highlight this ayah. Ask this question to yourself, ayah number 15. That if I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if I should disobey my Lord, the punishment will come to me. This ayah will keep us on a straight path. Whenever we are making decision of our daily life, I want to go there, eat this, wear that, and do this next time, realize that I will be standing on the day of judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if I disobey Allah, then the punishment will be coming to me. So he from whom it is averted that day, Allah has granted him mercy. And that is the clear attainment. What do we learn in ayah number 16? The real success is in the mercy of receiving the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who will receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he has written mercy upon himself. So you have to qualify yourself to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who gets the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically he gets the guidance. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah should touch you with adversity, there is no remover of it except Him. Try to internalize this ayah. When people blame other people, it is because of them I am hurting. It is because of they did that. And people forget, I am the one who signed up on a mortgage document to begin with. Then people say, how come my house is taken away from me? How come they are being so rude to me? How come that problem is coming my way? How come because of them this thing is happening? And people don't realize it, that it is could be them. So what we learn here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if adversity touches you, there is no remover of it except Allah. Meaning, if you go through any hardship, only Allah can remove it. Only Allah can remove it. Remind yourself, only Allah can remove it. Do not ask people for favoritism. Do not ask their help, because Allah said, I will remove it. And once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remove it, He will facilitate for you. And if He touches you with good, then He is over all things competent. Meaning, people, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them any goodness, they get very happy and they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the hardship comes, that's when they start complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happens to a believer? A believer stays the same, whether in good times or whether in bad times. A believer does not complain in good times, and believer does not complain in bad times. In good times, believer is grateful. In bad times, believer is patient. And he is the subjugator over his servants, and he is the wise, the aware. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 100% power over his slaves, and he is the one who is wise. He knows that this thing is supposed to come to you, or else it will be very bad for you. You may become arrogant if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep on giving you goodness. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't test you and I. Don't you think that we would become arrogant? Don't you think that we would forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As people who have a lot of goodness of this world, they think that they are the God. They talk, they speak sentences, tell them, I am the one who did that. It's because of me I am so successful. It is my own hard work. I have reached this level. And sentences like that tells you that the arrogance is in their heart. Because when a person is humble, his sentences show. So when we talk to ourselves and to other people, we need to check our sentences. Am I saying that, look, wow, I'm such a good cook. I made this food so yummy. People are loving it. No, it is Allah who gave you this ability. Or when people say, I am so successful, I have reached this point, I am able to manage myself by myself, it's because of me, my effort. No, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives you everything. And people forget to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, what thing is greatest in testimony? Say, Allah is witness between me and you. Who else do we need as a witness? Nobody. It is Allah that we need between you, me and you. And this Quran was revealed to me that I may warn you. Thereby, and whomever it reaches, do you truly testify that with Allah there are other deities? Say, I will not testify with you. Say, indeed, He is but one God, and indeed, I am free of what you associate with Him. Testimony of truth over testimony of truth. So, you and I, the job that we are given for being Ummat al-Wasat, we have to testify the truth in every little thing. Only then we are successful. And from ayah number 20, from ayah number 20 to 30, inshallah. In this paragraph, we're going to learn, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those to whom we have given the scripture recognize it as they recognize their own sons. Those who will lose themselves in the hereafter do not believe. And who is more unjust than one who invents about Allah a lie or denies His verses? Indeed, the wrongdoers will not succeed. What do we learn in this ayah? People can say all kinds of things. This is from Allah, but this is all the lies. So we have to be very careful when we say something that this is from Allah. Is it really from Allah or is it something your heart is desiring? So what do we learn from this ayah? Do not follow your desires. Follow what Allah SWT is saying. And mention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the day we will gather them all together, then we will say to those who associate others with Allah, where are your partners that you used to claim with Him? Allah SWT will add those, when people go and seek help from other people and other deities, Allah SWT will say, where are these things? Then there will be no excuse upon examination, except they will say, by Allah, our Lord, we were not those who associated. So how they will lie about themselves and loss from them will be what they used to invent. When people are not truthful to Allah, obviously they will be truthful to somebody else. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among them are those who listen to you, but we have face over their heart covering, lest they understand it. How scary. And in their ears deafness. And if they should see every sign, they will not believe in it. Even when they come to you, arguing with you, those who disbelieve say, this is not but legends of the former people. What do we learn from this lesson? We learn here that when people take this book, Quran, very light, they think these are just the stories. And you know what Allah SWT says? If a person opens up Quran and they do not have the desire to seek guidance, guess what happens? They find Quran very boring. It becomes pain to their ears. And they say excuses after excuses. I'm not ready. I don't have time. I am working. I have kids. I am old. I am young. I have pain. I have this and I have that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that if they don't want to listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to make them listen. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the seal in their ears and they find Quran boring. Have you ever heard something like that? That people say, oh, you know what? Quran class? Oh, no. 4 hours? How can you sit in this class? It's too much. I can't do that. And people find it so boring. And people go to sleep when it comes to Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it is not they, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it happen because you don't have desire. So bottom line is, the people who do not desire to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah doesn't give them. You know why? Because Allah doesn't need to. It doesn't matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether people come to Quran or not, whether people be a witness of the truth or not, whether people believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, whether people contemplate about Allah's universe or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it doesn't matter to Allah. Ayah number 26, and they prevent others from him and are themselves removed from him. And they do not destroy except themselves, but they perceive it not. In this ayah we learn, sometimes people stay away themselves, but they let other people come away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. If somebody, you know, for example, a group of 3 friends or 4 friends or 5 friends are sitting in one company, and one friend, she found the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she's attending this class, and they're sitting together, and she invites other people. You know, there's a class going on, why don't you come too? And this is an amazing class because we're learning the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your heart opens up and you learn the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one friend would say, okay, so where's the class? She's going to say, oh, the class is right here. No, that's too far from my home. I cannot go there. It's too much of a distance. And the same person may be sending their child 1 hour driving distance. Maybe they're driving their children to a university in their area, which is more than 1 hour away, and they don't mind doing that. But when it comes to Quran class, they say, no, it is too far. Or the other person who was inclined, the third friend who was sitting in the same room, he had some ideas, and she was thinking that I'm going to go and join. And she was like backed off. You know why? Because this other person, she said, yeah, you know, you're right. 4 hours is too much anyway. Might as well. You know, I have work to do. Maybe I can find a job and I can earn money. Sitting in a Quran class 4 hours, I mean, it's going to make me mad. And the fifth person who's sitting in this room, she said, yeah, you're right. And the topic changes and they stop each other. So make the other Tanasmatala doesn't make you and I the one who stop other people from coming to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 27, if you could but see when they are made to stand before the fire and will say, oh, would that we could be returned to the life on earth and not deny the signs of our Lord and be among the believers. But what they concealed before has now appeared to them. And even if they were returned, they would return to that which they were forbidden. And indeed, they are the liars, meaning people would want to come back, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, even if you go back, you'll go back to your same original lifestyle. And they say, there is none but our worldly life, and we will not be resurrected. People deny the day of judgment all the time. They believe in it, but they deny to prepare for it. And if we could but see, when they will be made to stand before their Lord, he will say, is this not the truth? They will say, yes, by our Lord. He will then say, so taste the punishment for what you used to say. May Allah save us all from the regrets of the day of judgment. Those who have ayah number 31 to 41 is the topic you can write. Those who listen, they are the ones who accept. Those who say, Lords who deny the meeting with Allah, biliqa'illah, highlight this phrase in your ayah, in your mushaf. You know why? Because liqa'illah is the key to success. When a person has a mindset that one day I will meet to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what keeps him going. That's what keeps him straight. And that's when he doesn't mind following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how hard it appears, and no matter how much opposition he faces, because now he knows that he has to face on the day of judgment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's a dua of Rasulullah, his friend. We can ask this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the love of seeing you. And inshallah, maybe we can send that dua in your email. Those who will, those who deny the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, notice here, the one who denied the meeting only then, until when the hour of resurrection comes upon them, unexpectedly, they will say, oh, how great is our regret over what we neglected concerning it, that is the hour, meaning the day of judgment. While they bear their burdens, their sins, and on their back, unquestionably, Allah, sa'ama yazirun, evil is that which they bear. May Allah save us all from the regrets of the Day of Judgment and give us the ability to love meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in this dunya, when somebody, good big person comes and they say they want to have an appointment to meet with you, doesn't it make you happy? You can start from your family too. If your family, in your family, maybe somebody who has a high status, of course there is no example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just for you and I. I to understand, if some big person in your family, they give you attention, it makes you feel good. And then when your local mayor and your government officials give you attention, it makes you special. And then when you meet in a national level, when the president of the country invites you, it makes you feel more special. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who you're going to meet one day. And the worldly life is not but amusement and diversion. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, you know why people forget about the Day of Judgment? Even if they don't forget about it, they don't want to prepare for it. Just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ فَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. And the worldly life is not but amusement and diversion. I want you to highlight this because sometimes when we get into the rut of this dunya, that's the only thing we think about. But the home of the hereafter is best for those who fear Allah. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the home of the hereafter, meaning the Jannah, is for who? The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you and I can make dua with Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the taqwa, give us the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can stay away. You know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about taqwa and not the righteous deed? You know, because doing righteous deed, as I said earlier, is much easier than having taqwa. Taqwa is much higher level of doing righteous deed. You see so many people doing so many good things, but when you and I try to feel taqwa in ourselves, we don't find it there. So what do we understand here? Having good deeds in our life is not enough unless and until we stay away from bad deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what? Darul Akhirah. Khairu lillazina yattaqoon. Afala taqiboon. We know that you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are saddened by what they say. And indeed, they do not call you untruthful, but it is the verses of Allah that the wrongdoers reject. You know, when Prophet ﷺ used to give the message of Islam to people, people used to deny, and it used to sadden them. Question, do you and I feel saddened when we invite people and we feel the pain for them and they don't come? You know why? Because once they come, this is going to be the best thing that can happen to them. And when people don't understand, it should make us sad when we're inviting people. But you know what? That doesn't mean that you should cut your ties with them. That doesn't mean you should point fingers to them. That doesn't mean you should give up on them. That doesn't mean that you say, oh, they're not going to come because they're on the left field. No, you're nobody to judge. People from the left and the left, the far most left field, people can come to Quran. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever opens the heart. You know, it took 16 years for Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu to come to Islam. So, and it took 6 years for Umar radiallahu anhu to come to Islam. So we cannot judge the people. They're not going to come to Islam. And the Quran. And indeed, they do not call you untruthful, meaning they understand that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the truth, but they hated the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And certainly were messengers denied before you, but they were patient over the denial, meaning they were happy with that. They don't care. You know, when we see some people, they have that couldn't care less attitude. I don't really care. This is the attitude they had. And they were harmed until our victory came to them. And none can alter the words. None can alter the word that is decrees of Allah. And there has certainly come to you some information about the previous messengers. And if their evasion is difficult for you, then if you are able to seek a tunnel into the earth or a stairway into the sky to bring them a sign, then do so. But if Allah had willed, He would have united them upon guidance. So never be of the ignorant. What do we learn? We can only try, but we should not be thinking that guidance is in our hand. Because no matter how much we can try, people will only come to Allah only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to. And you know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to? When they themselves have some kind of a desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala magnifies their desires and then brings them to Quran. Only those who hear will respond. Only those who hear will respond, but the dead, Allah will resurrect them. What do we learn here again? Those who hear, only they are able to respond. But the dead, Allah will resurrect them. Then to Him, they will be returned. And they say, why has a sign not been sent down to Him from His Lord? Say, indeed, Allah is able to send down a sign, but most of them do not know. Ayah number 38, and there is no creature on or within the earth or bird that flies with its wings except that our communities like you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us over and over again and again in this surah, an invitation to ponder upon nature. How many people do you know have time today to ponder upon nature? People spend so much time scrolling down their news feeds, but they hardly think about all these things. And you know what? When the person of Tawheed, when the oneness of Allah comes, he starts thinking of things in a different perspective. Then he sees things in a different way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you know, when the birds fly, the science say this is because of this reason. They have this scientific calculation. This is why the bird fly in the V pattern. And the believers say, no, they fly because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them such so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is keeping them, making them fly in such a way. And it is Allah who created them. We have not neglected in the register a thing. Then unto their Lord, they will be gathered. وَالَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا صُمٌّ بُكْمٌ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ. But those who deny our verses are deaf and dumb within darknesses. Whomever Allah wills, He sends stray, and whomever He wills, He put him on a straight path. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ إِنْ آتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ. Say, have you considered if there came to you the punishment of Allah, or there came to you the hour, is it other than Allah you would invoke, if you should be truthful? Fir'aun did that. When he was dying, he said, now I believe in the God of the Musa and Harun. It was too late then. No, it is Him alone you would invoke, and He would remove that for which you invoked Him if He willed, and you would forget what you associate with Him. Meaning, when the hardship comes, when the people are actually in the middle of a sea and the ocean and the boat is sinking, who do you think they're going to call? Even the atheists at the time, they say, oh God, save us. Ayah number 42. In ayah number 42 to 50, we learned the law of graduality. You know, this paragraph is very scary because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this paragraph that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make people live the way they're living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep on giving them time, and they don't realize it, that they're doing something wrong, and the day will come that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suddenly snatches them. So may Allah save us all from that all of a sudden regret, because people may be busy living in their life, not really knowing why are they here, what is the purpose of life. So, ayah number 42, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And we have already sent messengers to nations before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we seized them with poverty and hardship that perhaps they might humble themselves. This is why the hardship comes. Hardships are blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know why? Because if the hardships do not come, people don't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are too busy happily living their life. They hardly have a thought that Allah exists. In fact, so much so that they start thinking of themselves as a God. If they're brilliant and smart, they have these sentences coming out of their mind. It is my brilliance. I got it made. So this is why every time, next time the blessing comes in the form of hardship, take it as a blessing. Then, why, when our punishment came to them, did they not humble themselves? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when the punishment came, even then if they didn't humble themselves, but their hearts become hardened. What do we understand here? When a hardship comes, and even then people don't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their hearts becomes hardened. (Clears throat) And Shaitan made attractive to them that which they were doing. Meaning, Shaitan keep them saying, believe whatever you are doing is right. It's okay. Come on. Everybody's doing it. Nothing wrong with it. It's okay. And you know what? They don't realize it. And the time goes by. So what happens at the end is, so when they forgot that by which they had been reminded, we opened to them the doors of every good things until when they rejoiced in that which they were given. Highlight this part. When people are given too much goodnesses, too much blessings in this dunya, this is exactly what happens. I will repeat this ayah for you so we can get it. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. So, when they forgot that by which they had been reminded, meaning this message, if people ignore the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what Allah does? This is the law of gradually I was talking about. We open to them the doors of every good thing. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them more good and more prosperity and more money and more wealth and more health. And they get so busy in that. And then what happens? Until when they rejoice in that, meaning they get busy in it, they get indulged in it, which they were given. We seize them suddenly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala catches them all of a sudden. You know, it's like this. Just to understand this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you know, when you have a dog on a leash, when you have seen it, so that if the leash is long, the dog keep on going far away, far away, far away. Then all of a sudden, when the dog goes too far, owner of the leash, he actually pulls the leash and the dog has to come back all of a sudden, right? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now, in this dunya, you can live the choice of your life because this is what you desire. This is exactly what you're going to get. You want successes after successes in this life, you will get that. You want to get all the goodness of this life only, you will get that. And then they get so busy in the lifestyle. They have plans and they have vacation plans and they have plans one year after the year. This year we're going to go to Europe and the next year we're going to go to Far East. And the year after that we're going to take a tour of the Middle East. And after that this. And they get so busy in this world. By the time they realize it, it's too late. It's time for them to go away from this world. May Allah save us all from this regret. And consider, because of this ayah, from now on, start looking at your hardship as a blessing. Because it's the blessings that because of these hardships, you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that's the case, be grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, thank you for testing me from this blessing, from this hardship. I keep saying blessing because hardships are blessing, if you think about it. And you know what? Who knows this? Only a believer would know that. Only the person who have a soft heart would know that. Only the person who wants to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would know that. And then we see them suddenly, and they were then in despair. Then they will have a disparity. They will not have any hope that they will be forgiven. Ayah number 45. So the people that committed wrong were eliminated, and praise to Allah, Lord of the world. It doesn't matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the people who suffer. Say, have you considered if Allah should take away your hearing and your sight and set a seal upon your hearts? Make dua right now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't put seal in our hearts. Which deity other than Allah could bring them back to you? Look how we diversify the verses, then they still turn away? May Allah make us among those who do not turn away from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 47. Say, have you considered if the punishment of Allah should come to you unexpectedly or manifestly, will any be destroyed but the wrongdoing people? And we send not the messengers except as bringers of the good tidings and warners. So whoever believes and reforms, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. Ayah number 48 tells us, as a believer, since no more prophecy is there, our iman is that Prophet ﷺ was the last the final messenger. So who's going to do this job of bringing the good tidings in America? It is you and I. And you know what? It's not going to happen on internet. It's not going to happen on by listening lectures online. It's not going to happen by attending different programs. It's going to happen when you connect yourself to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you know this book inside and out, inshallah, make the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make each one of you the mission carrier, the person who carry and bear the torch of Islam on their shoulder so they can influence their own family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you and I, how come you didn't reach to the president of this country? No, Allah will ask you and I, how come you didn't reach your family, your siblings, your brothers and sisters, and everybody close to you, and then move on to the circle. And so whoever believes and reforms, there will be no fear concerning them. Alhamdulillah, we all believe. And alhamdulillah, we are all here to reform ourselves, to Islam of ourselves. And if we have these two things straight in our mind, meaning we know that we're supposed to be reforming ourselves, then Allah SWT says, فَمَنْ آمَنَا وَأَصْلَحَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Meaning, then a person will not have any sorrow, any fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. May Allah make us among those who do not grieve on the day of judgment. وَالَّذِينَ كَذِّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَمَسُّهُمُ الْعَذَابُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. But those who deny our verses, the punishment will touch them for their defiant disobedience. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not tell you that I have the depositories containing the provision of Allah. Notice here, Allah SWT is saying that, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let them know that you don't have any control over ghaib, and you don't have any khaza'inullah wala alamul ghaib. Meaning, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was not given anything out of ghaib, which Allah SWT didn't give him. Or that I know the unseen. Who is saying that? Prophet is saying that. He himself said, I don't know the unseen. People today say all kinds of stuff for Prophet. Prophet knows the unseen. He is listening to all these things. Prophet, his own words are written in this Quran. I do not know the unseen, nor do I tell you that I am an angel. I only follow what is revealed to me. Say, is this blind? Is the blind equivalent to the seeing? Then will you not give thought? This is a point to ponder. And then, ayah number 51 to 55, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written mercy upon himself. And warned by what? The Quran. This Quran. وَأَنذِرْ بِهِ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَن يُشْرُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. And warned by this Quran, those who fear that they will be gathered before their Lord, for them, besides him, will be no protector and no intercessor, that they might become righteous. Ayah number 52. And do not send away those who call upon their Lord morning and afternoon, seeking his face, meaning his countenance. Yuriduna wajhahu. I want you to highlight this part. Yuriduna, meaning they want. Wajhahu, meaning the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this becomes a desire of the life, that's when the ruh, the soul becomes illuminated with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now you are living for a double purpose, and the purpose here is to live this world so that you can reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us among those who truly desire the wajh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do everything, even coming and sitting in this class. Let's correct our intention. Why are we attending this class? Because we want to seek the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know how they're going to do that? They call upon their Lord morning and afternoon, seeking his face. Meaning, 24/7, in the morning hours and in the afternoon hours, they do azkar, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they recite the du'as, and the Prophet ﷺ has taught us the morning azkar, which we're supposed to do right after Fajr and right before Maghrib, after Asr Salam. Not upon you in saying, Neither upon you is saying of their accounts, and not upon them is saying of your account. So, were you to send them away, you would then be of the wrongdoers. And thus, we have tried some of them through others, that they, that is the disbelievers, might say, is it these whom Allah has favored among us? Is not Allah most knowing of those who are grateful? And when those come to you who believe in our verses, say, peace be upon you. فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. This is what they will say. And when those come to you who believe in our verses, say, peace be upon you. Your Lord has decreed upon himself mercy, that any of you who does wrong out of ignorance and then repents after that and corrects himself indeed, he is forgiving and merciful. This is an ayah of hope. People may have done mistakes in the past life. Allah is saying, it's okay. You should tell them, Assalamu alaikum. You know, sometimes when people who become student of Quran, they become too rigid and they tell people, you are such a big sinner. Allah SWT will never forget you. You are doing this wrong. You are doing that wrong. That's not the way to give da'wah. You should always, even the biggest sinner, if a person who may appear will never come to the Quran, even to them you say, peace be upon you. Be open, invite them, give them hope, don't make them despair. And this is a problem. People don't find peace in Quran because the people who are inviting them, they're too rigid. So soften your voice, be nice to them, don't give up. Always invite them, no matter how wrong they're doing, or no matter how much thing they're indulging in. It could be anything, major sins, such as intoxication, or gambling, or riba, or interest, or whatever it may be, you can still be nice to them and invite them towards peace and tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written mercy upon himself. And that any of you who does wrong out of ignorance and then repents after that and corrects himself, there is the key. They have to fix themselves too. Indeed, he is forgiving and merciful. And thus, do we detail the verses, and thus the way the criminals will become evident. In ayah number 56 to 60, we learn that Allah's knowledge is complete. Allah has all the knowledge from the beginning and to the end. Say, indeed, I have been forbidden to worship those who invoke besides Allah. Say, I will not follow your desires, for I would then have gone astray, and I would not be of the rightly guided. Say, indeed, I am on a clear evidence from my Lord, and you have denied it. I do not have that for which you are impatient. The decision is only for Allah. He relates the truth. Notice here. Who can relate the truth better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And He is the best of deciders. And say, if I had that for which you are impatient, what is that? The Day of Judgment. The matter would have been decided between me and you, but Allah is most knowing of the wrongdoers. Ayah number 59, and with Him are the keys of the unseen. وَإِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. Only Allah has the complete knowledge of unseen. None knows except Him, and He knows what is on the land and in the sea. Not a leaf falls, but that He knows it. Imagine thousands, millions, billions of leaves fall every single day, and Allah knows each one of them. Don't you think Allah knows what you are going through? Don't you think Allah knows what is in your heart? And no grain is there within the darkness of the earth, and no moist or dry thing, but that is written in the clear records. Ayah number 60. And it is He who takes your souls by night and knows what you have committed by day. Then He revives you therein. That is by day. And that is a specified term may be fulfilled. Every night when we go to sleep, Allah brings us back. You know why? So we can live this life and have enough time to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serve and know the purpose of the life. It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day we may go to sleep and we never wake up. then to him will be your return. Then he will inform you about what you used to do. And he is the subjugator over his servants. And he sends over you guardian angels until when death comes to you, death comes to one of you, our messengers, named the angels of death, Malakul Maud, take him that they do not fail in their duties. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the time that they need to take the soul, they come and take the soul. So I remember from 61 to 70, you can write down the topic, do not sit with those who make fun of deen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then they, that is his servants, are returned to Allah, their true Lord, unquestionably. He is the judgment, and he is the swiftest of accounts. Say, who rescued you from the darkness of the land and the sea when you call upon in imploring aloud and privately, if he should save us from this crisis, we will surely be among the thankful. When people are going through hardship, that's when they remember Allah. They stay up all night. They make all kinds of dua. Oh Allah, take this problem away. And when the problem is gone, they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding, this is what the people's attitude is. They become, لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. They would say, we will surely be among the grateful ones. But say, it is Allah who saves you from it and from every distress. Then you still associate others with him? People who come out of their problem, they forget about Allah. And they make Allah mad. And they do the things, like for example, you know, somebody may be making dua for their daughter to get married. And the daughter is running out of the age and time. And she may be reaching her 30s or even later, and maybe in 40s. And now they cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, please get my daughter married. And when the day of the marriage comes, you know what they do? Forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do all kinds of stuff that makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. They may do the function and the event in such a way that the non-mahram are seeing your daughter in all dressed up, fully makeup. The male cameraman is in front of her and the male cameraman is behind her. And the people are attending this party where all kinds of filth is taking place. And people say, this is the same person who was making dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get my daughter married. And on day of marriage, they are doing all kinds of sins. So people are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lesson we can take from this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me grateful for whatever I have. Say, it is Allah who saves you from it and from every distress, and then you still associate partners with him. And then ayah number 65, say what? He is the one who, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, able to send upon you affliction from above you or from beneath your feet, or to confuse you, so you become sects and make you taste the violence of one another. Look how we diversify the signs that they might understand, but your people have denied it while it is the truth. Say, I am not over you a manager, meaning I don't have any authority over you. For every news that is happening is a finality, and you are going to know. وَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Sooner or later, a person will get to know what is the truth and what is the haq. So the lesson we can learn here is that be a witness of the haq now. And ayah number 68, and when you see those who engage in offensive discourse concerning our verses, then turn away from them until they enter into another conversation. And if shaitan should cause you to forget, then do not remain after the reminder which the wrongdoer people do. So what do we learn? This is the topic I gave you in this section, that do not sit with those who make fun of the deen. Why? Because when they are having some conversation, you're going to start believing in it. So the best thing for you to do is get up from there. Try to change the subject. You should have enough guts after talking about the truth. After talking about the haq in this verse, that be firm in your belief. Because if you cannot even say, you know what, the minute gossip topic comes in, you say, well, I'm sorry, I don't know. When somebody talks to you, you invite people to this certain event, you say, no, I'm sorry, you have this music there? No, sorry, I'm not going to attend it. It's okay. You mind? That's the problem. You have to stand firm and believe in truth. Only then Allah will be you. And Allah will keep on guiding you. So, what should you do? When they turn away from them until they enter into another conversation. Don't leave them. Yes, if they change the topic, you can come back to them. And if Shaitan should cause you to forget, and then do not remain after the reminder.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Can everyone hear me? Alhamdulillah. Okay, inshallah. Subhanallah. A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajeem. I wanted this just to finish on time, but let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us. Alhamdulillah. I was doing ayah number 70, I believe. Let me just do that, inshallah. And ayah number 70, and leave those who take their religion as an amusement and diversion, and whom the worldly life has deluded, but remind with it, meaning the Quran, lest a soul be given up to destruction for what it earned. It will have other than Allah no protector and no intercessor. And if it should offer every compensation, it would not be taken from it. That is that soul. Those are the ones who are given to destruction for what they have earned. For them will be a drink of scalding water and painful punishment because they used to disbelieve. Say, shall we invoke instead of besides Allah? In the ayah number 71 to 82, you can write the topic of these ayahs, search for truth. Okay? Now, say, shall we invoke instead of Allah that which neither benefits us nor harms us, and be turned back on our heels after Allah has guided us? We would then be like one whom the devils entice to wander upon the earth confused, while he has companions inviting him to guidance, calling, come to us. Say, indeed, the guidance of Allah is the only guidance. And we have been commanded to submit to our Lord, Lord of the worlds, and to establish prayer and fear him. And it is he to whom you will be gathered. And it is he who created the heavens and the earth in truth, and the day, that is whenever he says be, and it is, his word is the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Kun fayakun. And his is the dominion. On the day of the day, the horn is blown, and he is the knower of the unseen and the witness, and he is the wise and aware. And mention of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Ibrahim said to his father, Azar, do you take idols as deities? Indeed, I see you and other people to be in manifest error. And thus, did we show Ibrahim the realm of the heavens and the earth, and that he would be among the certain. So, when the night covered him with darkness, he saw a star. He said, this is my Lord. But when it set, he said, I like not those that set, meaning that disappear. And when he saw the moon rising, he said, this is my Lord. But when it is set, he said, unless my Lord guides me, I will surely be among the people gone astray. Why do you think Ibrahim alayhi salam was able to find the truth? Why do you think he was able to see and learn, get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the nature? Because he was inclined towards the nature. So what do we learn here? Today also, when we get ourselves too busy in the worldly stuff, we forget to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as you have a lifestyle close to nature, stick to what is the nature, the natural things are, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he saw the sun rising, he said, this is my Lord, this is greater. But when it set, he said, oh my people, indeed, I am free from what you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, I have turned my face that is self towards he who created the heavens and the earth. May Allah make us turn our faces towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may Allah keep us, our offsprings, our ummah's faces towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect them, insha'Allah. So he said, indeed, I have turned my face that is self toward he who created the heavens and the earth, inclining towards the truth, and I am not of those who associate others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his people argue with him. This is exactly what happened. When you and I, in our time, try to come back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we try to follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will point fingers. People will not like it, and they will argue. So do you argue, he said to them, do you argue with me concerning Allah while he has guided me? This is the answer we can give to. And I fear not what you associate with him, and will not be harmed unless my Lord should will something. My Lord encompasses all things in knowledge. Then will you not remember? And how should I fear what you associate with while you do not fear that you have associated with Allah that for which he has not sent down to you any authority? So, which of the two parties has more right to security, if you should know? Then they who believe and do not mix their beliefs with injustice, those will have security and they are rightly guided. Ayah number 83 to 90, you can write the topic, Shirk destroys the deed. And that was our conclusive argument which we gave Ibrahim against his people. We raised by the decree whom we will. Indeed, your Lord is wise and knowing. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise the decree of Ibrahim alayhi salam? You know why? Because he was in the search of truth. When people, you and I, are trying to search for the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us. So let's make this one of the goals, that I want to search for the truth through this Quran, and I want my family to search for the same truth. And we gave to him, that is Ibrahim, Ishaq and Yaqub. And from now on, inshallah, you will see the names of the prophets mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning them with so much love. 17 names, count them. There will be 17 names you'll learn of prophets. And we gave to him, that is Ibrahim, Ishaq and Yaqub, all of them, we guided, and Noon, we guided before, and among his descendants, Dawood and Suleiman, and Job and Joseph, and Moses and Aaron, those, thus do we reward the doers of the good, and Zechariah, and John, and Jesus, and Elias, and all were of the righteous, and Ismail, and Elisha, and Jonah, and Lot, and all of them, we preferred over the world, and some among their fathers and their descendants, and their brothers, and we chose them, and we guided them to a straight path. That is the guidance of Allah, by which He guides whoever He wills of His servants. But if they had associated others with Allah, then worthless for them would be whatever they were doing. Those are the ones to whom we gave the scripture and authority and prophethood, but if they, that is the disbelievers, deny it, then we have entrusted it to you, entrusted it to a people who are not there in disbelievers. Those are the ones whom Allah has guided. So from their guidance, take an example. What we can take an example, say, I ask of you for it, that is the message, no payment. It is not but a reminder for the worlds. The people who give dawah, they can say that Prophet ﷺ was not taking any money for it, right? So what we learned here, you know, when people advise other people, people say, I don't know what's their hidden agenda. Tell them, we're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter whether you come or not. I'm going to keep on doing my job. And they did not appraise Allah with true appraisal. This ayah number 91, you can write the topic of this paragraph, is from 90 till 94. Give Allah His due haq. وَمَا قَدَرَهُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Highlight this part, because this is why we're sitting here, to learn how to give the due haq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Him. We will never be able to do it, but we should always be trying. وَمَا قَدَرَهُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. And they did not appraise Allah with true appraisal. When they had said, Allah did not reveal to the human being anything, say, who revealed the scripture then that Musa alayhi salam brought as light and guidance to the people? You Jews make it into pages, disclosing some of it and concealing much. And you were taught that which you knew not, neither you nor your fathers, say, Allah revealed it. Then leave them in their empty discourse, amusing themselves. وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ مُبَارَكٌ مُصَدِّقُ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. And this is the book. Which book is this? Which we have sent down, blessed and confirming what was before it, meaning the Quran. They, that you may warn the mother of cities, that is Makkah, and those around it, those who believe in the hereafter, believing in it, and they are maintaining their prayers. And who is more unjust, that one who invents a lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or says, it has been inspired to me, while nothing has been inspired to him. And one who says, I will reveal something like what Allah revealed. And if you could but see, when the wrongdoers are in the overwhelming pangs of death, you know, death is not an easy thing. And when people are wrongdoers, disbelievers, and even as sinners, will go through our pains of the death. May Allah save us and make the death easy. While the angels extend their hands, saying, discharge your souls. Today, you will be rewarded the punishment of extreme humiliation for what you used to say against Allah, other than the truth, and that you were toward His verses being arrogant. Ayah number 94, it will be said to them, and you have certainly come to us alone, that is individually, as we created you the first time, and you have lost whatever we bestowed upon you behind you, and we do not see with you your intercessors, which you claim that they were among your associates of Allah. It has all been severed between you, and lost from you is what you used to claim. Indeed, Allah is the cleaver of the grain. From ayah number 95 to 100, you can write down that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings the dead out of life and the life out of death. So, Allah is the one who is the cleaver of the grain and date seeds. Look at the seed. Seed is usually dry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a live plant from it. He brings the living out of dead and brings the dead out of living. That is Allah. So, how are you deluded? Don't you eat food every day? Don't you feel the grain that you goes in your mouth? It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you the one who's growing it? He is the cleaver of the daybreak and has made the night for the rest. Here, we can understand nights are meant to be sleeping, and the sun and the moon for calculation, that is the determination of exalted and might, the knowing, and it is he who plays for you the stars, that you may be guided by them through the darkness and through the end of the of the land and the sea. We have detailed the signs for a people who know. And it is he who produced you from one soul and gave you a place of dwelling and of storage. We have detailed the signs for a people who understand. And it is he who sends down rain from the sky and reproduce thereby the growth of all things. We produce from it greenery, which from which we produce grains arranged in layers. Basically, Allah SWT is inviting us to pay attention. When you eat food, when you think about it, when you are about to sin, think about it. The morsel of the food that goes in your mouth is by who? It is Allah SWT. And from the palm trees of its emerging fruit are clusters hanging low. And we produce gardens of the grapevines and olives and pomegranates, similar yet varied. Tonight, when you make in your dinner tart, when you're making fruit salad, look at each and every fruit. Look at the color, you get the texture, you get the flavor. Why do you think Allah SWT created so many varieties? You know why? So we can come back to Allah SWT, so we can get to know the oneness of Allah SWT, so we can get the love of Allah SWT, so we are grateful servants of Him. And when you cut fruits, invite your family and let them see it too. Let them feel it too. How come the pomegranate is such beautiful red color? How come the bursting orange is orange color, even though they all come from brown dirt and the brown dry seed? Similar yet varied. Look at each of its fruit when it yields and it's ripening. Indeed, in that are the signs for people who believe, but they have attributed to Allah partners. People eat the food that is given by Allah SWT, and they still disobey Allah SWT. The jinn, while he has created them and have fabricated for him sons and daughters without knowledge, exalted is he. Allah is all above and high above what they describe. And he is the originator from ayah number 101 to 110. You can write the topic of these ayahs. Allah takes away tawfiq, meaning Allah takes away ability when people ignore these signs. When people ignore to learn about Allah SWT, then Allah SWT doesn't give them guidance. He is the originator of the heavens and the earth. How could he have a son when he does not have companion, meaning he does not have any wife, and he created all things, and he is of all things knowing. Do you feel the love of Allah right now? Do you feel the taqeed of and oneness of Allah in your heart? Because it is Allah who has given you every single moment, and we openly, defiantly disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Allah, your Lord. ذَلِكُمْ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. Highlight this. This is your Lord. رَبُّكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. There is no deity except Him, the creator of all things. So, what should you and I do? So, worship Him. And that is the purpose of it. فَعْبُدُوهُ. After knowing all this about Allah SWT, all Allah wants us to worship Him and be grateful to Him. And Allah will remove all the misdeeds from us. And you know what? Who else He is? وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٍ. And He is the disposer of all things. So before you complain next time, know that Allah SWT is my wakil. Vision perceives Him not. We cannot see Him, but He perceives all vision. But He can see us, right? And He is the subtle, the aware. Al-Latif al-Khabir. Al-Latif al-Khabir are the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, if not to really get to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would recommend listen to these names of Latif al-Khabir. And if you email your email system, they will email you the name of Allah, Latif al-Khabir, in detail. And once you listen to that audio, you will feel what is Latif. Latif really means, because when we hear this word Latif, we just don't really get it. Yes, Allah SWT
very subtle, but what kind of subtleness? So inshallah, maybe you can ask Allah Ta'ala to make it possible for you. Ayah number 104, there has come to you enlightenment from your Lord. Question, does the enlightenment here for you and I? Are we feeling enlightened? Are we feeling the love? Then, so, whoever will see, does so far the benefit of the soul, meaning, information is there, Quran is in our hand, it is the book that we are listening, and then if the people take it, it is for their own goodness. It is due to good to their own soul, and whoever is blind does harm against it and say, I am not the guardian over you, meaning, when people turn away, it is not up to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is not up to anybody else, it is up to them whenever they want to be guided. And thus do we diversify the verses, so they, that is the disbelievers, will say, you have studied, and so we may make it, meaning this Quran, clear for the people who know. Follow, O Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what has been revealed to you from your Lord. If Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is commanded, don't you think we are commanded too? Aren't we the Ummah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? There is no deity except Him. Say it. La ilaha illallah. Say it one more time. La ilaha illallah. Say it one more time. La ilaha illallah. And turn away those who associate others with Allah. But if Allah had willed, they would not have associated, and we have not appointed you over them as a guardian, nor are you a manager over them. We are not responsible for people. We're just supposed to be inviting them. And do not insult those they invoke other than Allah. You know why? Because lest they insult Allah in enmity without knowledge, thus we have made pleasing to every community their deed. Then to their Lord, their return, and He will inform them about what they used to do, meaning never denounce anybody's gods. You know why? Because in return, they will denounce your God, and that will be very bad. And they swear by Allah, their strongest oath, that if a sign came to them, they would surely believe in it. Say, the signs are only with Allah. And what will make you perceive that even if it, meaning the sign, came, they would not believe. Meaning, when the hearts are not open up, no matter what you do and say, people will not believe. And we will turn away their hearts and their eyes just as they refuse to believe in it. That is in the revelation in this dunya the first time. And we will leave them in their transgression, wandering blindly. This is also the law of graduation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if we had sent down, sorry, inshallah, this is the end of Bajuz 7. And may Allah forgive us for whatever mistakes I did. Whatever wrong I said, it is because of my own mistake. Whatever good it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever we do. In the last slide, you see the dua of the today's truth, because now we're learning the Tawheed, and for the Tawheed we need to understand that, you know what, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's going to give me Tawheed if I only ask. And how can you ask? This dua is intermediate, dua number 3551. For those who are registered, they will receive it in the daily worksheet, and I hope that you're following the daily worksheet and writing your do's and don'ts from every juice. Rabbi ja'alni, say it with me, Rabbi ja'alni, oh my Lord, لَكَ شَكَّارًا لَكَ دَكَّارًا لَكَ رَهَّابًا لَكَ مِقْرَاءً لَكَ مُفْبِتًا إِلَيْكَ وَأَوَّاهًا مُنِيبًا. O my Lord, make me one of the most grateful to you, one who remembers you greatly, one who fears you greatly, one who obeys you greatly, one who exhibits humbleness greatly, one who sighs greatly and turns towards you. What do we learn in this dua? If we ask this dua, don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us oneness of Allah? Don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us focus of our night, and then we will not fear this dunya? And in the last night, you see the summary of this juz. There are so many things we learn, but I'm not going to go with everything. Only few things we will take it as a take-home point. Number one, get to know Allah by contemplating everything you see, everything you eat, everything you wear, For example, the clothes you wear, think about where the cotton comes from and where the silk comes from, and search for the truth. Because if we search for the truth, the life becomes so peaceful. You have no idea if you haven't done so. The people who have done it, ask them the peace and contentment they feel when they search for the truth and love this Quran. So this Quran becomes the delight of our heart. And you know what? How it's going to happen? Make yourself humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that your eyes tear with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you hear the verses of Quran. And this is one of the dua we can add in our dua list for this month of Ramadan. Be grateful for the ability to see the truth. Because a lot of people out there, they're not able to see this truth. Make dua to stay upon the truth until the last breath. It is very important. Once you are, alhamdulillah, we are all on truth, that we stay on the truth during in any part of the life. You don't get influenced by others and then give up on the truth. May Allah make it easy for us and may help us accept the message the way it is. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa ahsan jazaa, Sister Faiza. May Allah reward you immensely for such a beautiful session. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah. Full of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ma qadarullaha haqqa qadrihi. Allahu Akbar. The question is, are we trying to even give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's due right? That is the question of the hour. We are listening so much, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And listening is so eminent for learning. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Quran our priority so we can establish the missing connection in our lives with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, we have, if we want to respond to any of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listening is so eminent. So if we listen attentively, we focus, then inshallah wa ta'ala, we will be able to follow those commandments better, inshallah. And we'll take it on our hearts and then we will follow, our limbs will, inshallah wa ta'ala, represent our feelings of our heart, inshallah. I want everyone to write one point of action you will take from this session, inshallah wa ta'ala. Quickly, because I don't want to keep you long as you already had a long session. So I just want you all to absorb whatever you have learned from this session. So just write one point of action you will take with you this session, and then anything which touched your heart. Contemplate on nature, yes. Alhamdulillah. Everyone, I want everyone to participate, please. Because this is a learning session, and when we and you never know what point your point makes up Kajaria for you, and it might you know, somebody might have missed it, and then they can you know, take that point to check my heart and decide Quran and see condition of my eyes, inshallah. Searching for the truth and being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Search for truth, strike in the way of Allah by seeking knowledge, alhamdulillah. Work on a purpose of life, and alhamdulillah. So what touched your heart throughout this session? Being soft in speech, saying upon the truth, do not prohibit good things, see Allah in everything, alhamdulillah. Though we may be trying, but we can never give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Exactly. But we can try. All we can do is try. Allah's mercy, justification of tawheed, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Taking hardship as blessing. Alhamdulillah. All is good. Alhamdulillah. As long as we are learning, we are trying. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. You know what? Our deen is not result-oriented. It is effort-oriented. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us is to do the effort. Have the desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. That should be the ultimate goal, inshallah. That miracles do not change the hearts of the disbelievers, and that we need to ponder the nature. Alhamdulillah. Give the heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when That he maybe deserves to get this over respect and love. Alhamdulillah. Don't get disheartened when hardship comes. See blessing in it. Alhamdulillah. Those who listen are the ones who accept. Exactly. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. And we can hope for that outcome, inshallah. Searching for the truth. You guys are going so fast now. Searching for the truth so Allah can guide us towards it. Reform yourself. Work on your sabr all the time. Exactly. That is the hardest thing ever. Hardest thing ever. But most rewarding. Alhamdulillah. Live the life according to haq. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Sabr and shukr. Alhamdulillah. So many good points you all have written. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy of everything, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make effort on adopting them in our lives. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us learn our deen and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually and consistently, so we can be a conscious believer and cherish this blessing, inshallah wa ta'ala. May we are given the blessing of being grateful of everything in our lives. May we are saved and protected from any and every evil there is. May we are protected from the tricks of shaitan. May we are blessed with righteous deeds even after Ramadan. May we stand firm in our beliefs. May we never take our deen non-seriously. And may we become the truth searchers through the journey of Quran. Ameen, summa ameen. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. آمين ثم آمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.